Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Very good. Let's pray and then we'll come to the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can sing new songs and old songs this morning that all praise and tell of your great love for us. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would speak to us through it now. In Jesus' name, amen. With the second week into our series on the promised king, we're looking at Matthew 1 to 4. This week, we are looking at the birth of the king. The birth of Jesus Christ. Now, the birth of a baby is a wonderful time. Perhaps not the exact time. I've always said childbirth is a miracle, but it's not the prettiest of miracles. I've had to see it three times myself. But the birth of a child is a wonderful thing. And the announcement of the birth of a child is getting bigger and bigger. I don't know how they used to do it before Facebook, to be honest. But now, if you the way we normally find out in church if we've had a baby born is because it pops up on Facebook first. There's even now a bigger trend of announcing that you're going to have a baby on Facebook. This has been done in various ways now. It used to be just you would put the scan photo up as your status on Facebook, and then everyone would guess that you had a baby come in. But it's got a bit more creative than that. Some people are doing sketches and dramas around announcing it. Some people get their kids that they've already had to announce the birth of a new kid, a new child. It happens in all different ways when to announce a baby. But what about announcing a king? How do you announce the birth of a king? I've had to do some deep research in the history books for this. But I found a couple of ways that kings have been announced through history. There is a good video clip on this one, but I don't know if you've got the copyright to show it. So I'm going to have to recreate it for you up here. So announcing the birth of a king. Samenga! About a bee! Or something like that. It's a shame we had the Lion King cast in last year, not this year, wasn't it? So they could have done. But the birth of a king. Simba in the Lion King. I would have carried on singing, but, you know, the circle of life, all the other animals come round Pride Rock, and the gazelles kneel and everyone else. And I don't know if that made me the monkey, but the monkey holds up Simba. And he says, "The king has been born. The birth of a king, the Lion King." It's a sad movie. And the sadder movie still, don't bring a TGI, is Bambi. Do you remember Bambi? So slightly further back in Disney history. But the news has come that the young prince has been born in the thicket, and the news gathers around the whole forest. And all the animals crowd to see the young king born, the future king come in. All the animals come in, the news passes, and they come to see their new king. A bit closer in history, a few years back, not in a Disney film, this one's real life, but we had the birth of Prince George and all the fun that went with that. The pictures on our news of the people waiting outside the hospital, and out walked someone official with an envelope, and they jumped in the car and they drove to the palace, and there was an easel, and they put the announcement up on the easel that a new prince, a future king, had been born. The announcement of a birth of a king is an amazing thing, whether in cartoon, in Disney, or in real life. We'll put Simba back down there for now. But what about the announcement of the birth of Jesus? The announcement of our king. Well, from our passage and what we learned last week, we can see there were four ways in which the birth of Jesus was announced. And I've grouped them together there. The first and second was history and through prophecy that the birth of the king was announced. Dave last week took us through those first verses in chapter 1 of Matthew. The family line of Joseph and of Jesus. Picking out some of those amazing names in there. People you wouldn't expect to be there. Yes, there were kings in that line, but there were people who didn't even belong to God's family at that time. Through the line of Christ, through the family line, it was announced that a baby would come. That promise to David that a king would come, an eternal king who would reign forever, would come from his family. And that ties in with the prophecy as well. Great promises were made in advance. 400, hundreds of years ago, before Jesus was born, it was prophesied that the king would come. Prophecies like in our passage that we read. Prophecies from Isaiah about the birth of Jesus. Prophecies about the virgin birth. Further on, prophecies that the king would be born in Bethlehem. Prophecies that he would have to be called out of Egypt. All these things happening hundreds of years before Jesus was born. The promise and the prophecy that announced the birth of the king. I don't know what you think or what you feel when we talk about biblical prophecy. I think I've heard it a lot before and I sometimes lose the amazement of it. That yes, it was announced 400 years ago. But it is an amazing thing that we shouldn't lose the wonder of. If I told you what was going to happen on this stage this time next week, that would be an amazing thing. But this was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. It was told. It was promised. I don't know what you're like at waiting for those who'd hear the promises. Don't know what you're waiting for. Boys and girls, you're probably waiting for Christmas. Can't come quick enough. Slightly older, some of you might be waiting for Star Wars. A few weeks now for Star Wars. Whatever you're waiting for, sometimes it's hard. And the promises had been made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before that the king was coming. It was announced also through angels and through dreams. In our passage here that we've read, verse 20, Joseph had both. He had an angel who visited him in his dream. In the Luke passage we touched on earlier, Mary was visited by an angel. You'll hear in the next few weeks the story of the shepherds and how they were spoken to by angels. Angels and dreams gave the announcement of a king. I don't know about your announcement of your birth, but I'm pretty sure at my birth, not much prophecy. Not a lot of dreams. And as far as I know, not an angel in sight. See, the way Jesus was announced showed that there was something special happening. Jesus was no ordinary person. His announcement was special. Prophecy and angels and dreams announced that a special person was coming. But this isn't even ordinary for a king. Even when kings are born, they don't get this announcement. And however creative announcement you want to put on Facebook, it doesn't match this. That the announcement came that the king of all kings was going to be born. The promises from hundreds of years ago were coming. That this was supernatural, angels and dreams were coming. And that the king was to be born. It's hard to match that with a scan photo on Facebook. The king was coming. But secondly, this one I want to say that the king was announced, but secondly, that the king himself was an announcement. The birth of Jesus Christ was an announcement to us. They say names are very important. I don't know if you picked up on this story in the papers this week, that they have done extensive research into names this last year. With Christmas coming, they've looked into what names are naughty and what names are nice. We've clearly solved all the world's problems and cured all illnesses, so that some universities are given their time to working out which names are naughty and which names are nice. And they've come up, they've interviewed 70,000 people and gone through lots of different schools to find out which children's names are likely to misbehave in school and which ones are meant to be the best students. Let's have a look at first the nice names. So if you are called Anna, Courtney, Millie, Harry, Ryan, or Ethan, you are more likely to be good in school. You're more likely to be well behaved in school. Who have we got? Have we got anyone here? We've got a Millie. We've got a Harry in our groups. So you're most likely to be nice. Now the naughty list is coming. Now I'll put a proviso up. If your name is on the naughty list, don't be afraid. And I will prove to you why this is a complete load of rubbish in a moment when you see the naughty list. The naughty list. If your name is Leah, Eleanor, Ellie Garvey back there, Ellie, Jasmine, Joseph, Joshua, or James, they have proved that you are more likely to be misbehaved in school if you have these names. Well, what a lot of nonsense. All the money and time that's gone into that, and I could have told them that James was perfect in school. So, these names show us nothing. Doesn't depend what you're called, whether you're well behaved in school or whether you're not. But the names that were given to the King of Kings are important. And they are an announcement to us. The first one in our passage was verse 22. And verse 22 in our text tells us that you will call him Emmanuel. Quoting the prophecy from Isaiah, but Matthew goes on to tell us what it means. He says you will call him Emmanuel because that means God with us. It's the prophecy from Isaiah that Matthew explains. It's the announcement that God himself has come to be amongst us. John tells us a lot about this in his first chapter. There's a verse up there. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. You see, the announcement of the King in the name Jesus Emmanuel is that God came, that God has come and he lives amongst us. I'll be honest, as I was preparing this during the week, I thought, the Christmas story again. I've been here, this will be my fourth Christmas coming up for now. And I remember I've taught this to boys and girls, you guys. And I've preached it to lots of people. I said, how do we apply this again? How do we think of the Christmas story again? And I admit, as I was preparing, that actually I forget myself the wonder of what we're celebrating. The wonder of the incarnation. Incarnation is just a big word for Jesus becoming a person, that God becomes a person, the incarnation. And actually, the application of the Christmas story doesn't change every year, but it's one that we need reminding of every year. One we need to get excited about every year and stand back in wonder that God became a person. The great Spurgeon said, "I am persuaded that no man has any idea how wonderful a stoop it was for God to dwell in human flesh and to be God with us." You know, if God had decided to reveal himself to us in another way, if God had become an angel or a cherub or another holy being, that would have been such a downgrade for him. To become an angel or another holy being. To become the created, even the perfect created, that would have been a downgrade. But for God to come and be a human is an amazing thing that blows our mind. To become a human, to become just like you and me. You know what you're like on the inside. I know what I'm like. I know what I feel. How I'm saddened sometimes, how I have emotions, all these things. We know how short our lives are. And here God, who made the heavens and the earth, became a person just like you and me. God, who had never slept. We're told that our God doesn't need sleep. He created the world and it gave us rest for us. God, who had never slept, became a person and Jesus became tired. God, who had never ate. He never needed anything. Self-sustaining, he never needed anyone to give him anything. God became a person and he said, "I need food." God, who had never been thirsty, never drunk, came and became a person. And Jesus Christ said, "I thirst." The creator of the heaven and the earth, the God who knows everything inside out, the one who holds the stars and the galaxies and everything we couldn't even imagine in place, came as a baby, and the Bible tells us he needed to learn. He grew in wisdom and stature. God, who has always been and knew everything and created everything, grew. He increased in wisdom. It is an amazing fact. And like Spurgeon said, one we might never get our heads around, but one we have to stand back and gaze at in wonder that God became a person. 2 Corinthians 8:9, put that up, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." We sang that wonderful hymn to start. It reminds us, God, who reigns over all, who needs nothing, infinite in riches, became poor for our sake. God's announcement to us in the name of his Son is Emmanuel. God is with us. Do you know, some try to explain the incarnation away. Many people have spent hours and hours and days and weeks and years of their lives writing books to tell you why the incarnation isn't real. Theologians have fought over it right from the start. When Jesus came, was God becoming man? Was Jesus God? Some just don't believe. And the reason they don't believe is because it's ridiculous, because it's crazy, because it's unimaginable that God would become a person. But that's also the same reason why we rejoice and why we celebrate at Christmas. Because God has become a person, has become one of us. Emmanuel, God with us. Very quickly, the second name that the King of Kings is given is Jesus in verse 21. Matthew again explains it to us in our text. He says, "You will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." The name Jesus was given before. It was popular at the time, but it does mean Yahweh saves. The name Jesus means God to the rescue. Not only was the King of Kings Emmanuel God with us, but he was Jesus the Christ come to save us. Philippians 2:8 says, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because the wonder of the nativity, that God became man as a baby and grew and lived amongst us, is nothing compared to the wonder we remember at Easter, that God, the creator, the holder, the father, hung on a cross and died for our sins. That Jesus Christ gave himself to death, even death on a cross, that horrific way of dying. But not only with the physical pain, but the pain that went on in dealing with our sins. At Christmas time, we don't just celebrate the baby. We celebrate Emmanuel, Jesus, God to the rescue. There was no way we could save ourselves. And at Christmas time, we revel in the wonder. We get excited. It thrills me when Rod stands up here and says he's excited, because sometimes I can be a Scrooge at Christmas. But I shouldn't, because we revel. We praise. We're excited that God became one of us and that he loved us so much that he hung on a cross. He died on the cross to take our sin, to die in our place. You see, God's announcements to us at Christmas are easy to understand. Emmanuel, Jesus, the names above all names, God's announcement to us is simply, I love you. In the birth of Jesus Christ, God's announcement to us was God's saying as a father, I love you and I will give anything for you. I myself will become a human, will suffer ultimate humiliation and lower myself. I will grow and learn and live as one of you so that one day I could take the punishment to bring you back and restore this relationship. Summed up in those words, God's announcement to us this Christmas, the announcement of the birth of the King, tells us, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not die, but have eternal life. God's message to us is this Christmas is he loves us. He loves you. He loves us so much he gave Emmanuel. He came amongst us. And the birth of the King is an announcement. The birth of any child is a wonderful thing. It brings joy to the parents, brings joy to those around. But the birth of the King of Kings, the birth of Emmanuel, the birth of Jesus is an announcement to us all that will bring joy to us all and joy to the nations. That's why we're praying for our carol services this week, because we want to declare this, that God himself has come. And he has come as Jesus Christ because he loves us and he has come to save us. So, don't be a Scrooge. If you see me being sad or grumpy or taken up by running around at Christmas, pull me up. Tell me, be excited because of the incarnation. Be excited because of Emmanuel. Be excited because God loves us and be excited for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you that we celebrate Emmanuel and Jesus. The birth of the King was an announcement of your love to us. And we praise you and we thank you. And we ask your forgiveness when we get taken up with other things at Christmas, with the busyness. If we're grumpy or sad, or even if we celebrate things which aren't always from you, Lord. We pray that we would be taken up with you this Christmas. We pray Emmanuel, God, with us. We pray Jesus, your Savior, will be on our hearts and lips this Christmas as we praise you. We thank you for your great love for us. Be with us now, we pray. Amen.